And on the line with us is one of our regulars on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, the one and only, the quarterback, Bernie Kosar. Bern, how excited are you for the Super Bowl?
Well, good to be with you on Super Bowl week.
And it's, you know, it's the usual buzz here at Radio Row in New Orleans, and things get cranked up as we get later in the week with all kinds of different people. There's a guy walking around from, I don't know, I saw a guy carrying an alligator with him. I've seen that. I've seen a live alligator around Radio Row. I've seen some football people. It's quite a contrast and mix of people.
Well, I think the Super Bowls, if one thing has happened over the years of me and you going to the games and being a part of it and kind of watching it, is the how huge it's gotten. I mean, it's to the point now where almost the, you know, the game sometimes is almost anticlimactic to some of the escapades that go on during the week. And as someone that's probably a little more attuned to the old school of football, I can't really wait for the game, because that's something that I really think should be first and foremost.
Yeah, there is a lot to talk about with this game, intriguing matchups and so forth, and we're going to drill into that a little bit later. First, though, want to get your impressions of a couple of the key hires that this Browns team has made, and starting with Norv Turner being brought aboard as offensive coordinator. I know you know Norv quite well and know his offense quite well and his thinking quite well. What sort of impact do you expect him to have on the Browns?
Well, you know, like me and you have talked a little bit on the air and a lot off the air. You know, Norv, I think, is going to have, I mean, I really want to even take the think out of it. I know he'll have a positive, excellent input and impact on the team and Chud and some of, I think, the younger players. You know, he's from that Ernie Zampezi, Air Coryell type offense, which is very vertical throwing. And, you know, one of the things I think Norv really taught me, especially in terms of his aggressive play calling, especially when you cross the 50-yard line, is he takes all the cut-ups of all the teams in the league, and he looks at this past season and how every team had a play of longer than 30 or 35 yards, and he tries to analyze and see what the scheme was to make that play successful, to be able to get a big chunk of yardage like that, and also maybe what the defense did to allow that to happen. And I think that type of mindset of the very first thing you do is look for those chunk plays, I think, is something that if I'm a quarterback like Brandon Wheaton, I'm going to be very excited.
Yeah, I think so too. It's an attack-oriented approach. And but here's the thing I want to know is, everybody will say, okay, you want to make big plays. Who doesn't want to make a big play? But it's one thing to say that and have the desire to do it, and it's another thing to design a scheme to do that. So where in the essence of this design does it come about, Bernie?
Well, I do think you're exactly right. Everyone claims they want them, but you really have to have a conviction and a confidence to be able to call the plays to give yourself a chance to make those big plays. Now, I don't want to keep diving on and crucifying the West Coast offense, but if you're going to call a three-step drop a lot of the time, and you're going to want to run a lot of arrows and slants and crossing routes, well, that's not really conducive and have a conviction towards the downfield, vertical, big play type of stuff. And those type of five- and seven-step drops that have more overs and post routes and deep in routes, those, when you call those type of plays, yes, there's more pressure on the offensive line. Typically, though, Norv's type of system will keep in and won't do that with a five-man or six-man protection. He tends to do that more with a seven-man protection, which gives the quarterback a little more time to feel confident to stand in there, and definitely gives the receivers more time to really work their routes in that 15 to 25-yard range that could really create space that once they catch the ball, say, 20 yards, they're able to turn it up the field pretty quick, down the field, and turn those into 30, 40, 50-yard plays.
The other thing I hear a lot about and have talked a lot about with people around the league about Norv Turner, and Rob Chudzinski, for that matter, as collaborators on this, but their ability to technically improve a quarterback, to get to the heart of what that quarterback needs to work on and develop and change. And, you know, in a conversation we had on this show with Norv Turner last week when we were down at Mobile, Alabama, had him on the line from Berea, Bernie, he was talking about, you know, the more compact delivery that he wants to instill in a player. For instance, Brandon Wheaton, the young guy, you know, get a greater sense of quickness and more urgency, let the tempo of the offense move much faster than it's been. Again, as you know, North Turner, how does he go about teaching that, and do you see him as the kind of guy who can teach and elevate and advance the careers of young quarterbacks?
Well, he definitely can. I mean, what he did with the young Troy Aikman, what he was able to do with some of the offenses along the way, they're going to have to learn it if they want to be successful within the system. There's a definite element of timing on a lot of the intermediate throws off of his five-step drop game. Plays we're going to start hearing like 0-25, skinny eights, those type of plays that are the 15 to 20-yard range where the quarterback and Troy Aikman and Norv really, really were fantastic at doing this, where you have the timing where you hit that fifth step and you're not trying to muscle it down with the big windup, but as just like you're saying, you have a little bit of a compact delivery and you're able to squeeze that ball in there right on target with a lot of accuracy to be able to hit that receiver in space running right between the linebackers and the safeties.
Bernie Kosar joining us as he usually does right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. He's on the line. We are here at Super Bowl 47 Radio Row in New Orleans. Bernie, the other big hire, of course, Ray Horton as defensive coordinator, comes in with some very impressive credentials, the work he did in a very short time to help make the Arizona Cardinals defense much improved from what it was at the end of the 2010 season to what it was at the end of last season, improving from near the bottom of the league till all the way up to 12th overall, and that's just in yardage allowed, but other stats that indicate how much better they are. He seems just like a very dynamic, aggressive guy that could instill a lot of that big play mentality into the defense.
Well, I don't want to sound very old or very melancholy.
But you're both.
But I could see, just like it was yesterday, looking at scouting reports and game plans for the upcoming week on a Monday and a Wednesday with Ray Horton penciled in there as a starting defensive back for the Cincinnati Bengals,
right,
with Dick LeBeau being the defensive coordinator for the Bengals back in the mid to late 80s. So it's nice to see a guy like that have that type of success. We always had, I think, a mutual respect slash competition on the field. Me and you have talked at length over the years of the respect and admiration we have for a guy like Dick LeBeau. Ray Horton being a disciple, player, and a coach under a guy like Dick LeBeau, I think we pretty much know what we're going to get in terms of a defense that's definitely attacking, a defense that's not going to be sitting back and playing a lot of coverage behind it and letting teams methodically move the ball down the field with those 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 yard plays at a time. His defenses, just like Dick LeBeau's, definitely put pressure on the quarterback.
And it would seem, and you know, when I talked with Dick LeBeau yesterday on this show, he was saying that it's the youth, the young talent of this team, that what he studied on film gives him a lot of optimism that he can make plays with the kinds of guys he has. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of discussion. It'll continue. It's been ongoing about what the scheme will be and how different it'll be from the 4-3 that Dick LeBeau used. And he brings more of this 3-4 look of what Dick LeBeau ran, what Dick Geron used previously, a 4-3 in Cleveland for the last 2 years. But he's got this Dick LeBeau 3-4 look. And it is but he was saying, hey, the combinations of fronts are going to be there. We could use different things, 4-man, 5-man. It'll take on a lot of different looks. More important, the most important thing is, you know, putting players in the best position to succeed. What fits them, which I thought was a real wise way to think about it and look at it. And the other part of it is he likes this idea of big guys that can run, little guys that can hit.
Well, you got a lot of great points right there. And I think from a simplistic level, the things that go about with the system, and I think too many people get caught up with labels and trying to pigeonhole a 3-4 or a 4-3 or locking guys into specific jobs. You know, this is something where if you're a playmaker and you're on the football team, you tend to be able to just make plays, whether it's a 3-4 or a 4-3. And with so much nickel package and dime package and substitute offenses and substitute defenses within our NFL game right now, a lot of times, whether you're a 3-4 or a 4-3 team, you have your pass rushers on the field and you have your playmakers on the field because coaches, despite the fact that sometimes people don't think they're human, They really are, and they want to win. They want to make plays, and they're going to put the best guys out there that can make plays. And, again, sometimes the labels, I think, get a little too overused with them, because if you're a good football player and you're able to get after the quarterback and make plays, you're going to be on the field no matter whether it's a 3-4 or a 4-3. They'll be able to find a spot for guys who can make plays.
Bernie, let's talk about this game Sunday and this matchup. First of all, Joe Flacco, just the way it has come together, in particular for him in the latter part of the season, the big plays that he's been able to make, he's really been he's been hot, red hot, at the perfect time.
Yeah, Joe's through his career has won just a lot of playoff games on the road. And, you know, I think sometimes people say, well, that's because of the great defense. That certainly probably helped, but he's made his share of plays in the past, and he's definitely made his share of plays in the first couple of playoff games to win this year. You know, the one thing, though, it's he's either got incredible confidence I think the heat of the last couple wins, or he's getting distracted, I think, by the Super Bowl stuff, because he's been out of character this week with being a little more opinionated and getting off task on some of his comments and some of his interviews. That I think that's something, again, we're going to find out pretty early if that's something that's incredible confidence that's really coming to another level, or if it's something where he's gotten a little bit of distractions with the Super Bowl, because some of his comments, like his feelings towards next year's Super Bowl game, things of that nature, the fines that have been happening with the commissioner. I mean, it may be his prerogative to want to answer those. I'd like to stay away from, when I was quarterback, I'd like to stay away from anything that didn't involve the actual game on Sunday.
Ray Lewis, as a story, as an entity, as whatever you want to call him, he's really a whole almost team unto himself. But this game and what it's looked at from the perspective of the guy playing his last game, and it's a Super Bowl, Bernie, that story resonates. What kind of Ray Lewis do you expect to see on Sunday?
Well, it was really interesting yesterday. I haven't heard about deer antler anymore in my life than something like that. And I got to say, I'm not trying to be funny here, circumvent, you know, authority and the rules, because you have to play by the rules. But, you know, really, is that something that deer antler, that something that really made a difference in terms of him leading the playoffs in terms of tackles, the way he's, I think by him missing a good portion of the season, the thing that's made him more successful is the fact that he was probably really rested in incredible shape and wasn't worn down by the grinds of a long 16-game season. And he's really showing that speed and athleticism even in his 17th year.
It's the Rudolph effect.
He doesn't have the shiny nose yet, though.
How about let's look at the 49ers, Bernie, and let's talk about how there's a quarterback on that team that, you know, and I know this gets overplayed, revolutionizing the game and, you know, new trend and so forth with the way Colin Kaepernick does it, both as a runner and a thrower. But we've seen it with Robert Griffin III, certainly with Russell Wilson, just unique athletes who not just are able to run, but can throw it and throw it quite well. And just looking at Kaepernick, as tall as he is and as dynamic and athletic as he looks playing that position, when nothing's open, he's running and they're not catching him.
Well, I got to say that, first, with the 49ers, with their ownership group being from Youngstown, Ohio, and Jim Harbaugh and me being basically the same age and playing the majority of our career at the same time, I have a lot of conversations with San Francisco, and I was a huge, huge proponent of Kaepernick coming out after a four-year starter from Nevada. Me and you were looking at him down at the Senior Bowl just a couple of years ago.
Yep.
He was one of the few guys that I searched out after practice that was so impressed at watching his arm strength. And it's obvious, if he's got that many yards rushing in college, he's got the incredible speed and athleticism. As much as people over the last couple years have said you have to play quarterback a certain way, there is no question that Jim Harbaugh, Kaepernick, the way those guys are going, RG3 in Washington, this is something that you're going to have to deal with as defensive coordinators within the NFL as we move forward into the next few years of playing the game.
Bernie, tremendous analysis, as we always expect from you, and we will catch up with you again next week, my friend.
Sounds good.
All right. He is Bernie Kosar, the one and only, joining us, as he rightly and always does, right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up from Radio Row of Super Bowl 47 in New Orleans on ESPN 850 WKNR.